previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
We had a chance last week to meet your wife when we were talking about your Pitbull Foundation to rescue pit bulls. Man, is she great.
Yeah, she's a keeper.
Well, that's really romantic for Valentine's Day. That ought to help you out. Yeah. And don't forget to get Brian Bickle's romantic poetry for Valentine's Day. Roses are red, violets are blue. Yeah, she's a keeper.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show on 720
WGM.
Good morning. Happy Friday, 720 WGN, 509 in the morning. Andrea Darlis. Steve Cochran is actually off today, and Monday he'll be back on Tuesday. Pete McMurray will be here in just a little bit. Dave Ennett's handling sports, Mary in traffic, Big O in business, Kevin Powell, Ross Cochran producing the show. So we got a great show for you planned, as always, every day, but specifically on this Friday. One of the big stories that we're following today, more cases expected in the measles cluster at a Palatine daycare center. Mary, you and I were talking about this morning. The public health department warning that more measles cases are likely after five infants who attended a daycare center in Palatine were diagnosed with the disease. So
and this is what's sad, because these poor little babies, I mean, they can't get the shot yet. I mean, they're still too young to even get it. So
and that's the
they
thing.
Can't even get protected from the older kids that are bringing it to
that's
them.
That's the thing, right? Because you don't get vaccinated. You don't get the shots until you're a little bit older. And these, as you said, they were babies. This was at the KinderCare Learning Center in Palatine. It marks the second appearance of the measles in Illinois within the last month. Remember last week, there was an adult in Cook County who got the disease and visited a grocery store and a health clinic while possibly contagious. So as we've been saying all week long, get your kids vaccinated, because it's the best way to prevent from getting this disease. And it continues to spread now in 15 states. We'll be talking about that throughout the morning as well. Other big story today we're following overseas is Ukraine. We're going to talk with ABC's Tom Rivers in just a few minutes as the fighting in eastern Ukraine continues to intensify. Secretary of State John Kerry was in snowy Kiev today, ready to talk about providing arms to the Ukrainian military. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel and Francois Hollande from France are going to be in Russia for peace talks. That will be a little bit later on today. Let's check in with Tom Rivers from ABC News. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing pretty good, yeah. People are putting a little bit of hope into this Merkel and Hollande meeting in Moscow today with Putin. It's going to take place in about 3 hours, simply because it doesn't look good on the ground right now in eastern Ukraine. The rebels in the ascendancy there, and they're really pushing the government forces back. So, yes, there is talk, and it's only talk at this stage, of maybe getting the West to arm Ukrainian government forces, but they would like to avoid that if at all possible, because this thing could escalate, spiral out of control, end up having an east-west confrontation there, a proxy war, if you will, on Ukrainian soil.
Now, is there a division within the U.S., too, within the administration? Because yesterday, Hagel had said, Chuck Hagel and his who will succeed him, they had a little bit of a disagreement on whether or not to arm these rebels.
Well, exactly, and it's you know, this is a dirty war. You got to get that out there at the outset. It isn't, you know, the good guys versus the bad guys. Both sides are involved in some pretty indiscriminate shelling, and you know, the government forces are you know, certainly the ones as well shelling things like the hospital in Donetsk. So you want to arm a government force like that? I think most American people would say no. You better solve this around a table, because this is pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. What do you think of Merkel and Hollande stepping in for peace talks as well? I hadn't seen that before. Now they're kind of getting right up to the forefront within these negotiations.
Yeah, well, I think it's potentially an important development, because, you know, Putin will listen to these two individuals. And, you know, it shows you that it's not low level, it's high level. And many say it's at the 11th hour. So it's like, you better try to cut some deal now. Everybody gets a face-saving kind of a deal, and then, you know, you can get on and move beyond this. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see in the next few hours if something positive can come out. On the ground, there's going to be a small humanitarian corridor opening up in the east now. Some of these people have been without electricity for heating for a long, long period of time now. And, you know, that's underreported as well. But, you know, they need some relief, and they're going to try to at least open up a corridor for people to get out of there, the elderly and the young especially.
That they do. And another facet to this story as well, I think you mentioned in some of your reports overnight as well, is that Ukraine's armed forces could call up female citizens between the ages of 20 and 50, which that kind of caught my eye right there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, they're talking about a draft. And again, you know, that's something very, very unusual. And one thing you got to look is the other side, the people in the East, the so-called rebels, they're fighting for something that they believe in. And when you face that, you're fighting a pretty strong opposition. And if you just get people drafted in to oppose that, again, that's a different situation, saying I'm dragged into this thing as opposed to I am here and fighting for my soil.
Right.
Very different take on it.
Very different take on it. Well, be safe, Tom, and keep us updated on the situation. Very volatile right now. The peace talks between Merkel, Hollande, and Vladimir Putin will begin today. So keep us updated.
Will do. Take care.
You're the best. Thank you. That's ABC's Tom Rivers. Again, very volatile situation. We'll keep you updated on that as well. Whether Putin agrees to seal the border will probably depend on what degree of autonomy the rebel regions are offered, basically what territory they're allowed to control. All right, it's 5:15. A lot going on today. Mayor, what is going on locally with the roads?
Ear infections, sinus infections, pneumonia, and, you know, in rare situations, you can have seizures and encephalopathy.
That's Dr. Tina Tan, infectious disease specialist at Lurie Children's Hospital, talking about what the measles could lead to if untreated. Again, we were talking about the cases, the most recent cases of the five babies who got the measles at the KinderCare Learning Center in Palatine. As we were saying just a few moments ago, marks the second appearance of the measles in Illinois last month. It's now spread to at least 14, possibly 15 states, more than 100 cases. So infected people, just FYI, are contagious from 4 days before their rash starts through 4 days afterwards. So again, this is Dr. Tina Tan.
If someone has, say, you know, coughed on a surface or sneezed on a surface and they have the measles, basically persons can pick it up that way.
Yeah, the droplets are key in catching this disease. If you've been vaccinated, you do have a 95% chance of not getting it. Kids who attend public schools or licensed daycare centers are required to get vaccinations unless they cite medical or religious reasons for abstaining. And this should make you feel better, too. Here's another stat. Statewide, about 98% of school kids have complied with the vaccination rules. These little ones didn't have the vaccine because they were too young. And again, as we were saying before, 1 in 12 kids in the United States, though, not receiving the first dose of the vaccine on time. So this is very serious. And the health department yesterday even saying that we will probably see more cases of the measles in Illinois. So again, following that major, major story today as well.
We believe no health or credit card data has been compromised, or at least that's what we're led to believe. We do believe we believe that this compromise is deep, is dangerous, and this attack is unacceptable.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
5:37, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran today, and Monday Steve is back on Tuesday. Well, it happened again. We have another credit card breach. On the phone with us, Steve Burness, the president and CEO of the BBB of Chicago. Steve, here we go again.
It never seemed to end. Another week, another breach.
You know, I was thinking, I've changed out my Chase debit card at least four times in the last 2 years, easily.
Yes. People are changing their cards continuously, and we're still hearing from consumers from the previous breaches that they're still getting money taken out of their accounts and losing their money. So you kind of be vigilant as all can be. But this one is a little concerning because it could be children's ID be stolen as well. So you have to make certain that your child's ID is protected as well and check and make certain that they're not trying to use anything on their account numbers as well and social security numbers.
Well, Steve, can you explain to people what happened if they haven't heard?
Well, basically, there's been Anthem. There's been one of the largest insurance companies that been in breach of their systems. And they really don't know the extent of it yet because it takes usually days for something like this to go through. and see what happens. But basically, they've been taking no medical records yet, they have said, according to the media reports, but they have been taking names, date of birth, social security numbers, everything that possibly can be taken right for identity theft, for stealing somebody's identity. So it can happen today. It can happen a year from now, 2 years from now as well. So these consumers, really in today's world, you just have to become vigilant and check your credit report, you know, on an annual basis. And there's only one way to do that. It's annualcreditreport.com. That's the only site that the government recognizes as a site that you can get your free credit report on a yearly basis. But also, you know, watching your statements. I mean, that's key. Continuously, not just at the end of the month when they come in the mail, more so on the computer on a weekly or even sometimes daily basis. We had a woman last week, you know, lost about, it was $8,000 taken out of her a checking account, which everything was all she had in her checking account. And unfortunately, that she couldn't pay her bills. You get your money back, but it takes takes some time to get that money back. And sometimes consumers don't even realize they've been hacked.
Right. Well, Steve, let me ask you, you brought up kids. How do we check our kids to see if they've been breached? How does that happen?
You can still go to the annualcreditreport.com to see if there is a file under their social security number. And that's the key. Parents, you know, and consumers don't think that children's IDs can be stolen. Yes, they can. So you go to annualcreditreport.com and see if there has been a file open on them as well, especially if there's any activity, if you see any mail coming in their name and things of that nature. Consumers, sometimes will see a credit card application for their child and say, what does this mean? You know, they just throw it out. They don't realize it, but somebody can be using their child's ID, and that's usually a good sign that something's been taken on that situation.
Good morning, Steve. I wanted to ask you about, you said checking your credit report, and we were talking earlier about getting new credit or debit cards if you think you might have been compromised. Are you penalized for either of those, either checking your credit report too much or, say, if you get three cards within a year? Because I know, like Pete said, I got a couple last year, too.
No, unfortunately, you're not getting penalized on the number of cards at all because usually the bank sends you a new card when they feel that you've been potentially a victim of that. So there's no penalty on that aspect. And in terms of checking your credit report, you'll get one free a year. So you have to pay for additional copies within it, if you want to check it more than once a year as well. But if you are a victim of identity theft, usually they have, like this company, Anthem, will probably have a credit monitoring service for you for a while. What that means is that they'll pay the company to see the, will keep monitoring your credit report. If anything changes, they'll notify you as well. And you can even lock down your credit report if you really feel that you are a victim or have been a victim. You can write to the credit bureaus and lock it down. What it means is that it's very difficult then for you to get credit. It just takes a little bit longer time, and there's more protection on that aspect.
Pete, I have a question for our guest this morning.
Go ahead,
Orion.
Because
this is the generation gap. I still write checks. I do not want anyone going into my account to withdraw. Am I protected a little bit more because I write checks, or am I still in the position of being hacked as well?
Well, you're protected a little bit more, but you still can be a victim of identity theft regardless if you use your credit cards or not, because depending on where they obtain these numbers from. So, I've been a victim of identity theft. Somebody was broke into one of the companies I use and stole all their financial information, and we're trying to open up accounts in my name. So it doesn't really matter. I think you have your best protection using your credit card, debit cards, because the laws that protect you and you'll get your money back eventually just take some time. And but again, the longer you wait on a debit card, the less chances of getting your money back. So you got to be vigilant and continuously watch your accounts.
Well, I use credit cards a great deal, but I don't use a debit card, never.
Yeah, we prefer credit card over debit cards because credit cards, they steal the bank's money. If they steal money out of debit card, it's your money out of the bank.
Steve Burness on the phone with us, president and CEO of the BBB of Chicago. How much is it to check your credit report? How much does that cost?
Well, it's free once a year, and then from there on, it's I think it's $20 or something like that. And again, be careful of those services that have those jingles, and they'll you know, you get the free credit report, but need your credit card number, and they charge you for monitoring services and things of that nature.
Right.
So the only one to go to is annualcreditreport.com. That's the one that's set up by the government where all the agencies, and you get it once a year.
Annualcreditreport.com. I do think it's odd that we can only check our credit once a year free, and then you have to pay for it. With all these breaches going on, you'd think that you'd want to check it at least once a quarter.
We do. If you've been with a breach, you get to check it more. So if you are a victim of identity theft, you can check it more. It's just if you regularly check it, it's only once a year that they give it to you free of charge. And that was just a recent change. It lasts, I think, 4 years or so, 3-4 years. So
right.
It was never given to you free as well. Now it fits all these breaches, and I'm sure it'll change in the very near future as well.
And, you know, I changed out my debit cards and my credit cards because I shopped at Home Depot. I think there was one at Jewel. There's been so many in the last 2 years that I can't even keep up. How long do we monitor these? I check my checking account on a regular basis, but there's some people out there that don't look at their statements, you know, maybe once a month. How should they monitor these? How many times?
Well, obviously, you should continuously monitor all your accounts, because what happens when they steal account numbers, whether or not they use it. So if you've been a victim of Home Depot years ago, it depends on who they sold that information to and who they resold it to. So it can happen, you know, 4 years from now, too. And it can happen, you know, next week. So there's really not a time limit, Pete, on when you should stop checking. You just continuously have to be vigilant. And don't wait to the end of the month for your statement to come in. And some people have wait, you know, 3-4 months before they realize, because sometimes they do small charges to see if it's an active account.
Right.
So, and you got to look for those $1 and $3 ones, because, you know, those are usually the ones indication that you actually have been hit and that they're going to get you down the road to that, no, it's an active account.
That's how I noticed, I think, Steve. Yeah, when we had talked that a couple of times ago, I noticed there was a charge. I think it was like $342 or some crazy charge.
Right.
I thought,
right.
$3? Exactly. And the first inclination is, oh, it's $3.
Right.
Just forget about it.
You're right. People like that, think about it. That's how they make money. You know, that's, and then they sell the card because it's more value to the same good card.
Steve,
so you have to be very careful.
Steve Burness, President and CEO of the BBB of Chicago. Steve, thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, let's take a look at traffic at 545. Mayor? ...720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 550. Thanks again to Steve Burness, President and CEO of the BBB of Chicago. Orion, you mentioned that you write checks.
Yes.
Outside of writing checks for bills, will you go to the grocery store and write a check?
No.
What are you writing a check for?
I'm writing a check to pay my heating bill, my electric bill, and credit card bills and all of that. But no, I use cash otherwise.
I was at Jewel yesterday, and there was a woman in line in front of me, and she pulled out her checkbook, and she started writing a check.
I know.
And I didn't realize that all you have to do is sign your name, and they take the check, and they run it through the machine, and they do everything for you.
Yeah. I was at Jewel yesterday, too.
Were you writing a check?
No, I was not. But you know what you can do now when you pay with your credit card? A lot of places do this now. You can slide your credit card through in the very beginning, you know, and that way you don't have to dig through your purse or your wallet.
Right.
I like that idea.
Target does that.
Yeah.
But when was the last time you wrote a check outside of writing bills?
You know, it's funny. I just wrote one this morning because I was paying an old credit card bill, which I rarely use. It's my backup credit card. But so I need to borrow a stamp, if anybody has a stamp.
I do have
I went and got stamps yesterday because I had given you my last
you
one.
You did. The last time I wrote a check, I
you know, you can buy stamps at Jewel at the checkout.
Yeah, and Walgreens, too.
Yes, you can do that.
I have to walk over there, though.
But
it's like a whole 25 feet.
Nobody's writing checks outside of writing checks for bills anymore. People don't do that.
It was I just, do.
Do you really?
Well, like to the church, when you're going to church, you write a check.
Yeah, I do too.
I write a check to my hairdresser.
Income tax records, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess, you know, for kids' activities, you're writing a few checks.
Oh, yeah, you're always writing them to the Boy Scouts for this, for that, you
yeah,
know,
charity.
Stuff like
that. I bet charity you get a lot of checks, you know.
Yeah.
Around the holidays, you write a bunch of checks.
I got to be honest, I don't know where my checkbook is. I haven't written a check in probably 4 years. My wife does all the checks.
I have it.
Oh, you do?
I have yours.
You're going to have it.
And he loans it to me when I need it.
It's the Mickey Mouse checks.
Remember, nice.
Remember ordering checks from a bank was such a big deal.
Right, and you wanted to get cool things like
Snoopy. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You had to go through the 6 weeks for him to come.
And a box of checks was like $50.
Yeah. Have you done it lately? Because I just ordered checks about a month ago online.
Okay.
And to actually buy the checks, I had the same checks on one of the very basic. All the information's there. And
the
then you have to go. They keep wanting to tack on extras.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to keep declining. No, I don't want the bonus waterproof protection, all this stuff. It takes forever.
Are your checks purple?
They are not purple. They should be purple.
I could see the end. The Northwestern logo.
They make it so difficult people don't want to get checks anymore. It's just like pay with cards,
well,
you know?
You have to go through the font thing, and do you want the carbon copy check and things like that.
Don't
that's
rough.
Don't
put your phone number or social security number on there.
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal, too. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you'd order from the bank, and it was like $50, and then suddenly you check the Sunday paper, you could buy checks for $3.
Yeah.
Box of checks. Shipping $12, but at $3 for a box of checks. And Radio Shack, Orion, went bankrupt. So what's going to happen to Radio Shack? Are they done?
Well, they're hoping to avoid liquidation, which very frequently happens when you file Chapter 11. Company is 95 years old. It's based in Fort Worth, Texas. Started as a mail order radio service. And over the last 2 years, just has struggled greatly. It was at one time a pretty good place to buy mobile phones. But then other companies like Sprint, AT&T, and the other stores moved into that area. They do have 1,000 dealer franchise stores, and they do have companies in Mexico and Asia. They are not a part of the bankruptcy. But now what is going to happen? Because they have 21,000 employees, $1.2 billion of assets, but they have $1.4 billion of debts, according to court papers. And there's a company called Standard General Affiliate, called General Wireless, said they would acquire between 1,500 and 2,400 of the 4,100 stores that Radio Shack has. And here's what they'll do with them. They will operate out of those stores, and a third of the space in those stores will be occupied by Sprint, selling mobile devices across the brand portfolio.
Okay.
So not everybody will lose their job, and not all stores will close, but they will be operating under a different name.
Well, think about in Chicago how many Radio Shack stores there are. There's so many standalones. They're at malls.
And they've got good locations, and that's why they're attractive to a company like Standard Wireless.
Here is my question. Yeah. When was the last time someone walked into a Radio Shack?
I think about a year and a half ago, I walked into one in Arizona to buy a microphone cord.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the last time.
I don't think people are walking in the Radio Shacks anyway. You need splitter? What do you need a splitter for?
It's true. They used to have one on Michigan Avenue, just south of Lake. I think that was the last time I walked into one.
Used to go in and get alligator clips.
Remember that?
Alligator clips.
You'd have to clip them onto the telephone to file your stories. You'd have to remove the bottom part of
the mouthpiece, and then you clip them onto the phone. That's how you set audio to the...
During daylight hours, Jordanian F-16s pounded northeast Syria.
Somebody else in the neighborhood who has a perfectly healthy kid, who's blessed with a perfectly healthy kid, decided irresponsibly to not make sure their kid got the measles vaccine.
I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
We have a Rahm Emanuel problem because he hasn't seen a donation that he's not willing to accept.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
WGN Chicago.
All right, 720 WGN. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. That's where you can send us a text message to Pete McMurray and for Steve Cochran today and Monday. Steve is back on Tuesday. Brian Williams apologized two nights ago where he repeatedly said that he was aboard a chopper that had been hit by rockets. And he apologized. Tom Brokaw spoke out yesterday. Do you know what Tom Brokaw said?
I did not hear Tom Brokaw's response.
Tom Brokaw said that Brian Williams should be fired from NBC.
That's harsh. It's harsh. He shouldn't have bended the truth. That's true.
A lesser journalist or producer would have been immediately fired or suspended for a false report, says Tom Brokaw.
That's probably true.
Those two used to be friends.
Yeah, they did.
If Andrea tells a story that she was in Iraq and in a helicopter, and you kept saying that story over and over, should you be fired?
No. Well, no, I wouldn't. I would.
Let's hop on Steve Bertrand. Let's do Bertrand, yeah, for example.
Of course. Yeah.
Should he be fired?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does Tom, or not Tom, Tom Brokaw, does Brian Williams lose his credibility?
I think a little bit. Oh, it definitely takes a ding, don't you think?
I think
Brian
so.
Brian Williams, he's this he's prominent. Right. He's arguably their main anchor now. And to bend the truth on a story. You know, and I said yesterday, Pete, I said
that he didn't have to.
Right. For him to say, hey, I was in the air. The chopper in front of us was hit.
Right.
I was scared to death. I thought we were going to be hit too. It's noble that he was there. It's honorable, you know, to bend the truth like that.
It seems out of character for him. First of all, when I heard the story, I'm like, what? Brian Williams? Really? Mm-hmm. I trust that man.
I trust him too.
And now do you trust him?
I still do.
Okay.
I do.
And you're going to forget about it in a week, aren't you?
I think eventually this will go away. Everything does.
There was two things this week that really bothered me. It was the Brian Williams thing and the Aaron Schock thing. Because I grew up in Peoria, Central Illinois. Aaron Schock does such great work for Central Illinois. And then when I heard that he decorated his office, he took that for free and now he's paying for it, I was shocked.
Yeah.
That's out of character for him.
It is out of character. But he did, as you said, he wrote the check from his personal fund. So he's paying for all of that.
But if the Washington Post did not say anything, would he have paid for it?
That's a good point.
Yeah. And his renovation was $6,000, right?
Yes, I think
Mark Kirk did the same thing with the interior decorator. He ended up paying $1,000.
Yeah, for his own renovation. For his own furniture, yeah.
Has anyone seen Downton Abbey?
I have not.
Anyone seen the
show?
I
saw a couple episodes of it, like the first season.
What is it? I don't even know what it is. I just imagine a lot of people on the show.
A lot of people
bonnets.
In a real big house in England. That's kind of
my mom watches.
That's the story in a
it.
Nutshell.
What is the premise, and how can you decorate your office if you're a congressman in Downton Abbey?
It's this really wealthy family with all kinds of servants, and that's about as much. That's as far as I got.
Shirley MacLaine's there.
Yeah, I never got into it either, and I
couldn't
watch
either.
A lot of TV. I don't know. A lot of people watch
people
it, though.
People love it.
Oh, people absolutely love it. And I'm sure if I started watching it, I'd love it, too. But
I don't understand it. And Aaron Schock, we had him on the Cochran Show when you guys were in Washington.
That's
I was
right.
there.
Yes. He was there.
He's a very outdoorsy type of guy. He doesn't seem like the Downton Abbey type guy.
No.
Uh-uh. I mean, something strange is in the air. It's very, very weird.
It is strange. Mm. But I do have to say, now that he paid for it, you know, and it's taken care of, you know, out of his own funds, there's something very regal looking about it. I do like the red wall and the disproportionate frames.
Just stop it.
I do like it.
Coming up, Lou Manfredini, Lou's first call. If you have a question for Lou, you need some weather stripping done on your door. What's going on with the melting snow? How's your basement? Lou can help. Mr. Fix-It coming up next, 312-981-7200. Let's take a look at traffic.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
Pete
it's
McMurray.
The time, it's the time of the show.
.720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran on the phone with us. I love this man, Mr. Fix-It. You can hear him Saturday mornings right here on 720 WGN. Lou, I was telling the story a few minutes ago during the summertime how I would text you every week because I was so worried about my lawn.
Incessantly. Tell people that.
And
incessantly.
Just to let people know, my lawn, since I live in the city, is the size of your master bathroom. Anybody's master bathroom, that's the size of my lawn, but I just wanted to grow grass. So here we are. It's wintertime. I need to talk to you about weather stripping, first of all, before we take some phone calls.
Before we do that, I was listening to the Pete McMurray Show. I want everybody listening this morning to give you a little plug. As I was waiting to pick up our youngest son from a rehearsal that he was at, you were interviewing Donny Osmond last night.
Yes.
What a terrific interview. What a terrific guy. And, you know we got that Ro Khan who's doing a fine job. He talks about his celebrity super hotline. But that hotline that the Pete McMurray Show has is top-notch.
Well,
and, so everyone should be listening to the Pete McMurray Show from 7 to 11 p.m.
I love it. Thank you, Lou. I appreciate
You're
that. Weather stripping on my basement door. I have a very strange basement door. It's all metal, but when I stand next to it, I can feel the draft on the bottom of the door. However, yeah. It's very tight at the bottom. How do I insert weather stripping on the bottom of that door?
Well, do you use that door in the winter?
We do sometimes, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the thing. That metal door transfers the cold like nobody's business, and
right.
So it can find the slightest leak. You can, on the inside of the door, I assume the door opens in?
Yes.
Okay. So on the inside of the door, you can apply an additional door sweep that you would either affix with an adhesive, because some are self-stick.
Okay.
Others you screw on that would bridge that gap between the door and the threshold. Or, you know, they have these they look like giant pieces of bean bags that are like long salamis that are fabric.
Okay.
That you can put in front of a door. In a basement door that you don't use all that much, you can kind of tuck that along the door. It's a, you know, a removable door sweep that will bridge that gap and seal it up. And you just have to kick it out of the way when you open up the door.
Where do I pick up that puppy?
Your local Ace Hardware store.
Yeah, there it is right there. All right. Lou's first call for our first caller. This is Jimmy. Jimmy, you're on with Lou for being our first caller this week. We're going to set you up with a White Rogers Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat. Monitor and control your home's temperature from the smartphone anywhere in the world. Go to AmericanWeatherMakers.com. Jimmy, congratulations. What's your question?
Thank you very much, Pete. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, Pete, you stole my thunder. I have a door going out to the garage. It's metal, and underneath it's drafty. And it's only really drafty when the garage door is open, and that's just becoming a problem lately. Lou, how is there one? The door is up about an inch to an inch and a half off the ground. The lip, the casing that goes around the door, obviously the frame is about an inch off the ground. Is there one that you can, I guess, screw on or adhesive, like you said, to the bottom that will stick to that pretty well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole myriad of weather stripping available right now. And, you know, now that it's really cold, this is where everybody feels all those drafts. One of the major brands of weather stripping that you'll find at the hardware store is by a company called MD, which is Mecklenburg Duncan. And they make not only door sweeps that you can affix to the inside door of the door or the outside of the door, depending on which way it sweeps. They even have a U-shaped one that when the door is open, you can tuck up in there, and it'll bridge the gap and actually do all of the sealing directly on the bottom of the door, and you can adjust it and then attach screws to hold it in place. And, you know, that's really going to help you tremendously. And then there's a system called Cinch, which is an aluminum weather stripping that's a self-adhesive with this 3M adhesive, so it really sticks, that you cut with a pair of tin snips that you can put around the perimeter of the door, the vertical jam, and then across the top as well with the door closed to make sure you get a tight seal there as well. Called Cinch.
Jimmy, hold on the line. We're going to set you up with that White Rogers Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat. Visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com. American Weathermakers, recognized as the experts in heating and cooling for 65 years. Mr. Fix-It on the phone with us. You can hear Lou Saturday mornings on WGN Radio. Mike, what's your question for Lou?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Lou. I'm sorry. I live out in the southwest suburbs where we have well water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do not have a water softener, and with you don't have a water softener, I know you get all the calcium, lime, all that gunk that builds up on it, and the drains are running very slow. I have my father-in-law, who is very penny conscious. He is telling me to just dump liquid plumber down the drain, and that will clear the problem. I told him I should have a plumber come in and rot it out. What should I do?
Well, I mean, if the clog is beyond the trap or right at the point where the pipes enter into the walls or anything like that, a product like Liquid Plumber really isn't going to do anything. It's just not strong enough to, you know, pull anything apart. And so a plumber or even if you wanted to put a snake down there yourself to kind of rod that out, that kind of builds up, the amount of gunk that can be inside waistlines and sewer lines, you'd be amazed that if you cut that pipe out and you couldn't see through it, you're like, how did water ever get through? But something like that, you may be better off having a professional come in and do the roddings and even put a camera down it to find out what's going on so that you can take appropriate measures in the future.
All right. Okay, now question, next question is, I don't have a water softener. Would a water softener cure that problem?
Water softener, I mean, for your drain lines really doesn't make a huge difference because they're large enough, the waistlines are large enough that the calcifications shouldn't be a real issue. The water softener is going to help you with the overall quality of the water coming out of all the fixtures and will help you to eliminate fixtures from getting clogged with gunk and not being able to turn things on and off. So from a waste perspective, it has a minimal effect.
God, you're good. Mr. Fix-It on the line. Allison, what's your question for Lou Manfredini?
Hi, I'm going to be painting my kitchen cabinets with the Ace self-leveling paint.
Good
and
girl.
I was wondering, I've seen online the DIYs leaving the cabinets, the doors on or taking off. What is your suggestion? Do you need to prime?
Yeah, if you're going to do the cabinets, the best thing is to remove the doors and put those on a set of horses or something like that, because that way you can get around, paint the frames really well. Remember that any paint job is all about the prep, so I'd take a little sanding sponge, rough up that surface a little bit, get it as smooth as possible to get rid of any of the gunk that's on there. Then with that Ace cabinet and trim paint, which I really love, it's a self-leveling paint, when you put the first coat on, it's going to look streaky, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, it looks terrible. But then as it starts to dry, it forms this skin that makes it look like you spray painted the paint on. You put the second coat on, it looks even better, and it's super durable. And if you put the doors down on some horses, you'll have an easier time sanding them and then even painting them to get the nice finish. And then when you rehang everything, you can do any kind of touch-ups that you may need.
I want to grow up to be Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. right here on 720 WGN. Lou, thank you very much, my friend.
My pleasure. See you guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
640, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Tuesday. A new book came out on Tuesday. It's called Abandoned in Hell. In studio with us is Captain Bill Albrecht. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's quite an honor.
How long were you in Vietnam?
A year.
1 year. Were you drafted or did you enlist?
Oh, no. 1966, myself and my best buddy Joe Murphy went down to the United States Army recruiter right out of high school and said, we want to sign up only if we can get airborne infantry and go to Vietnam.
You're kidding me.
No. And he looked at us like we had two heads. But
right.
He said, you know what? This is your lucky day. I have two slots here, but you got to take them now.
Of course, they're going to say that. I mean, back in the late 60s, mid to late 60s, people were trying to dodge the draft. You went down there and actually signed up.
Exactly. And that kind of started an odyssey for me. Went in, and the nuns at Allman High School were actually correct. I was smarter than I was applying myself. And I qualified to go to officer candidate school. But I was only 18 years old, which is you had to be 19 to graduate. So I turned 19 in mid-August, and I graduated a brand new minute second lieutenant August 31st, 1967. Now, I was, you know, the young 19-year-old tenant. However, I always looked older because, you know, I was a kid in high school and had to buy the beer. So I always looked older, and which served me. Not so much anymore.
Tell me about when reality set in when you were in Vietnam, when it hit you and like, this place is not good.
Well, I went to, I went through special forces training, jump school and special forces training. And then the first assignment instead of Vietnam was Thailand. I went to Thailand, trained the Royal Thai Army. So here I had been in now 3 years. I trained and trained to go to combat, to fight for our country. And this is the way I saw it. hadn't done it yet. So I was supposed to be getting out, and I went into our personnel officer in Thailand. I said, you know what? I want to extend one more year, but only if I can go to Special Forces in Vietnam. Well, this is your lucky day.
And of course.
So off I go. Then I get into country. I am mid-August. I turned 21 and made captain a couple weeks later. So arguably the youngest captain to serve.
And tell me about the book, Abandoned in Hell. What is it about?
I was sent to a firebase Kate, on 28 October 1969, and there was three fire bases surrounding this major special forces compound, which was heavily fortified. This little fire base was a bald hill. It had three artillery pieces, about 130 mountain yard tribesmen, which would be the equivalent of the American Indians, if they were fierce fighters. I lived up in the mountains and central highlands, and about 27, 28 American artillerymen, and myself, special forces officer and a special forces sergeant. We were the ones that were tasked to provide security for the artillery. They would mutually support and fire each other. Did a walkthrough survey, and the base was in pretty sad shape. The guy there before me, I apparently didn't put a great deal of stock in security. So we made, my sergeant and I made a big list of what we're going to do, how we're going to dig our bunkers, overhead cover, more wire. And then the sun started setting, and I'd called the artillery officers in, and I said, from now on, boys, we're not going to be playing cards and volleyball until we get this place squared away.
Sure.
We got hit that night. We got hit that night, and it never ceased for the next 5 days. We were continually hit by artillery, mortar, rockets, and massive ground attacks. And there was two NVA regiments, the 66th and the 28th. And plus an artillery regiment battery. So we were outnumbered about 40 to 1. There was about 6,000 of them.
You're kidding.
No, it was. If it hadn't been for tactical error, we would not be having this interview.
What were you thinking? Were you thinking this is the night I die?
Not yet. We were holding our own. We were getting ammunition in. We were getting water in. And we were getting our wounded out. And then they brought in some anti-aircraft type weapons, which first introduction into Vietnam, and they started shooting our helicopters and blowing them out of the air. So, therefore, I could not have close helicopter support anymore. We just relied on the jets, the as we call them, fast movers, to come in and strafe and keep the enemy at bay.
Captain Bill Albrecht in studio with us. The book is called Abandoned in Hell. How do you get those images out of your head? Is this therapeutic to write this book so many years later?
Absolutely it is, and I have an analogy I'd like to use, and I think all the Vietnam veterans out there, all the veterans out there that have seen and done anything. I came home in 1970, and it was not a good time for veterans. And I'm not whining, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying this is the way it was.
Right.
So you wanted to get right back into society. Your friends had graduated from college, they started families, they were in good jobs. You want to get right back in. So you took all those memories, the especially the bad ones, and you put them in a closet, and you locked that damn door, and you kept that door locked. You didn't have time to deal with it. But over time, you might see something. It might be a word, a smell, a turn of phrase.
Right.
And that door would come open. And maybe not a lot, but enough for stuff, some of those stuff, those memories to come out. And I'm not saying you had a flashback or anything, but it was things you had to deal with. You had to deal with remembering this and an unpleasant memory, somebody dying or whatever it happened to be. So then you gather them up and you deal with them and you push them back in that closet, but that closet just wouldn't go back closed all the way. It's always now a little bit open, and it would do that several times, and every time I couldn't get it back in. It would always stay a bit more open than last. And in 2007, the door came open and all came out, and I had to sit down and start writing.
Good for you. What do you think of the Brian Williams controversy this week?
Stolen valor. It's a case you can't misremember about crash landing a helicopter.
Right.
Believe me, I know that to be a fact. So when you're caught in something like that, you just have to come out, say, you know what, I screwed up, I apologize, and move on. But he's got to come clean, and if he has that, I haven't heard yet, well, good for him.
Thank you for coming in. The book is called Abandoned in Hell. And you are good friends with Spike Odell.
I am friends with Spike Odell.
You're from the Quad Cities. That's where you and Spike met.
That's originally. Exactly right, originally.
The legend of the Quad Cities, wasn't he?
Oh, my Lord. He is. He's the king. If we have royalty, he sits atop of the throne.
Oh, that's funny. Captain Bill Albrecht, thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure. And last thing I want to say is if you go to abandoninhell.com, one word, click on that, and there'll be a lot more information.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you for coming in.
What do you feel like doing tonight?
What do you feel like doing?
What?
Back to that.
What do you want to do?
6:52. What do you want to do? How about the Monster Jam tonight at the Allstate Arena? Anybody going? That seems like a Kevin thing to me.
Can't go. Kevin, you going?
The Monster Jam is awesome. I went last year. Ton of fun. I don't think I'll be there this year, though.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Tickets start at $22, 847-635-6601 for ticket information. Bates, an 80s musical psycho parody, is happening at 3914 Clark Street at the Public House Theater in Lakeview. Love is Murder Mystery Conference happening tonight at the Lowe's Chicago O'Hare Hotel in Rosemont. Has anybody ever been to one of these murder mystery type things?
Have not.
I hear they're fantastic.
They seem cool. So they tell you ahead of time you're going to be the killer.
Right.
I've always wanted to do one of those. We should do one as a group.
Yeah, we should.
Well, I don't know.
Come on. It'd be fun. What if you could be the killer?
I think Cochran would be the killer, don't you?
Yeah, for sure.
He would be the killer.
Or Kevin.
Why me?
I don't know. Because you at least just be hilarious. Right.
I could be the killer. That's fine.
Can you be mean? I've never seen Kevin
That's
upset.
That's why he can't be mean, so he'd be a good killer.
I've never seen Kevin be mean.
Really?
Yeah, I get. Forget it. I take that back.
Oh. Dozing with the Dinos at the Field Museum tonight. Bring your sleeping bag, and you could sleep at the Field Museum. This is always a Cub Scout thing, and it was offered to my son, and unfortunately, we could not make it this year. But what happens if you're sleeping at the Field Museum and you're just in the middle of that huge, enormous hall that you walk into and you have to go to the bathroom? You wake up in the middle of the night. You got to walk like 50 yards to the restroom. You're going to be wide awake.
I thought you were going to say, what if everything comes to life?
Yeah, and there's dinosaurs staring at you.
Have you guys been to the Field Museum when you walk in? It's that enormous hall. I'm assuming that everybody just sleeps right there.
Yeah, by Sue.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The T-Rex.
You could do that tonight. Dozing with the dinos. Tonight.
Don't go sleep by those lions. You know, those man-eating lions?
Or the weird things in the basement, the stuffed animals. That'd be a little creepy. Oh. Wake up and have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and check out those things.
The mummies?
Yeah, the mummies, yeah. And they have the stuffed animals downstairs, right? It's been a while since I've been there, but I think I remember that. Candy Crush Crawl 2015. It starts at Red Ivy in Wrigleyville. Wrigleyville is home of the sweetest bar crawl around. If you're a sucker for love or just a sucker for candy, follow your sweet tooth to Wrigleyville. Going from bar to bar, drinking and eating candy. And listen to this. There is a spirit seminar happening tomorrow at 3471 North Elston at Chief O'Neill's Pub. I've been to Chief O'Neill's many, many times. You can join them for a seminar about the fluid history of Irish whiskey, led by whiskey educator Martin Duffy. Yum. And guess what you'll be doing tomorrow at the Spirit Seminar?
Drinking.
Drinking whiskey. Like that. Orion, are you a whiskey drinker? Kick back a few?
I do like a good American whiskey.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I'm mainly a bourbon man.
You'd sip some whiskey.
I sip Crown Royal. To me, that's good sipping.
All right.
That's a good place.
Chief O'Neill's?
Yes.
Yes. I like it a lot. What do you want to do? That's your list for What Do You Want to Do on the Steve Cochran Show. It's 6:57 at 720 WGN.
Ear infections, sinus infections, pneumonia.
There is every reason to get vaccinated. Get your kids vaccinated. It's good for them.
I have 4 congressional offices. And so part of the MRA allotment that I'm given is to hire staff, pay for office equipment, and all of that. And so each of us have to use our best judgment on what that's used for.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
11 minutes after 7 o'clock, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran on the phone with us, ABC News political director Rick Klein. And Rick, who would have thought that the measles vaccine would be a political issue in 2015?
Yeah, no more than you thought Downton Abbey decorations could possibly be, I suppose. Yeah, it is a strange story, but it tells you in a presidential campaign you have to expect everything. And I do think it reveals some real important splits inside the Republican Party. There's a skepticism around a lot of the science around vaccines. Some of this plays out in politics. It's something the candidates hear about. It's something that they've campaigned on in the past, and they know it's a visceral issue for so many families. But obviously, with the current outbreak, it has become a lightning rod for criticism to say that to suggest that there should not be a universal vaccine policy.
Well, it's a very serious issue. And yesterday, five babies diagnosed in Palatine with measles that were under 12 months old. I mean, people are worried.
That's exactly it. And I think when you hear Republican candidates now coming out and saying, you know, yes, I think vaccination is a good policy, but there should be parental choice. Well, that gets to the crux of this, is that if people choose not to have vaccinations, there's a potential that they're putting other people at risk. It's not just your own children that that could be at risk. So I do think that it has become just one of these early flashpoints in a campaign where you start to see some differences emerge between candidates.
Rick, I grew up in Peoria. My family still lives in central Illinois. What's the buzz about Aaron Schock in Washington right now?
Really bad week for Aaron Schock, starting with the revelation that that he had this kind of strange office space decoration, then the revelation that it was paid for by taxpayers, and then the racist comments that were placed on social media by a senior advisor to Congressman Schock, who ended up resigning as a result. Aaron Schock's got a reputation as a rising star. He's obviously still one of the youngest members of Congress, even though he's been in for a couple of terms now. But stories like this are a real blow, and I think he's going to have a hard time explaining, and it's just one of those things that's going to stick with people in their mind when they think about Aaron Schock. It's going to be the Downton Abbey guy for a while, and then having to, you know, having to fire an aide is never a good thing.
No,
that's kind of true. But he is, you know what though, the Aaron Schock. I mean, you know, I hate to say it's in the news one day and out the news in the mind of on one day, out of your mind the next day. But I think this is something that Aaron Schock can kind of move past. Don't you think, Rick?
Oh, I mean, I don't think it. I don't think it's by any means, you know, the permanent mark on a campaign. But I do think that when people talk about Aaron Schock now, it's that guy. It's the guy with the office that was looked like Downton Abbey and paid for it with tax dollars. It's always going to be there. And look, he's going to have a long career ahead of him, presumably, to try to make right by that and to erase that memory and write another couple of chapters.
I feel like I need to watch Downton Abbey. That's a PBS show, right?
I've never watched it either, and you know, unless there's a campaign or something, I don't think I'm going to be into it. But you know, the decorations actually don't seem like that office doesn't seem like an advertisement for it. That doesn't look that interesting to me.
I kind of liked it. I mean, now that he's paid for it out of his own pocket,
right,
and he's owned up to it, I kind of like the red and the disproportionate frames.
Not a big red guy. Rick Klein from ABC News on the phone with us. I don't know if you have much information about this, but the presidential library, it's a big deal to us here in Chicago. The rumors now, the first lady is going to make the decision, and she wants it in Harlem, New York. What have you heard?
Yeah, I think that would be a real shocker to people. I think the presumption in talking to Obama insiders all along has been Chicago. Chicago would work out the differences, come together with a united bid. I know Mayor Emanuel has been hot on this case for a long time. I think if it was in New York, it would be a real disappointment to folks in Chicago who are setting up in expectations. I think it'd be a disappointment to a lot of folks in the Obama circles. But there's been a lot of talk about the Obamas potentially using some post-presidential years in New York City. Maybe that would fit more in with them. But I wanted to come out for the deep dish, and Harlem has some great culinary choices. But I'd be among those disappointed on a personal level.
There's no way that Rahm Emanuel is going to let that library leave this city. He wants it in Chicago.
That has been my presumption all along. And you add in David Axelrod, who's building a great facility at the University of Chicago with his new Institute of Politics, and all of the ties and roots that he has, and friends and family and extended family in Chicago, and it always made sense to me there. But you know, I know that there's been a lot of issues with site location, some internal disagreements, it would be an interesting couple of months. I do think this is going to have to get resolved sooner rather than later, because a lot has to happen to make a presidential library a reality.
And Rick, I want to get your take on the Brian Williams statements and controversy this week. Tom Brokaw spoke out yesterday and said he should be fired. What are your thoughts on it? What are people saying in your circle?
Oh, I didn't see that from Tom Brokaw. That's wow, that's something. You know, I think it's something that us in the media are definitely paying a lot of close attention to. Obviously, our credibility is everything in this game.
Right.
I don't know Brian Williams. I don't have any inside information on all of this. I know that we all have to be extremely careful about what we say. And if you don't have credibility, then it's very hard to do the jobs that we do. So I hope and trust that he's resolving it, and that NBC, our friendly competitors across the way, are doing the right thing by their viewers as well as their employees.
I had Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, on my show last night, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. Why is John Boehner so tan?
What did Josh know about this? I've seen actually kid pictures of him, child photos of him, and he had the same tan. He even referred to him in a picture with all his brothers and sisters as the little brown one. So I know it's hard for people to think that it's actually possibly a mostly natural skin tone. I don't see him as a tanning bed guy. I think he spends a lot of time outside, and that certainly helps. But it is one of the boring mysteries of Washington, I'll say.
I mean, watching the State of the Union speech, I just can't take my eyes off him in the background.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I would say is comfortable in his own skin, whatever skin color you might think that to be.
Right.
He's taken a lot of friendly ribbing over that over the years. It is it's something to behold. Did Josh have a better answer than I did? I'm curious about this.
He didn't have an answer. He didn't know. He just laughed. Yeah.
Very disappointing.
Rick Klein from ABC News. Rick, have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
All right, let's take a look at traffic. It's brought to you by ComEd. It's 7:17. Here's Mary.
It's a nice day for a white wedding.
1 week from today, one lucky couple is going to get married live on the Steve Cochran Show by me and Steve Cochran at the Hotel Baker in St. Charles, all brought to you by Allstate. The grand prize, you get an overnight stay at the Hotel Baker, breakfast, chocolate-covered strawberries, and Char from CityGirlWeddings.com is going to supply hair, makeup, photographer, and flowers.
You know what we're having for breakfast?
What are we having for breakfast?
Pizza.
Are we really?
The traditional wedding food.
Heart-shaped pizzas.
Oh.
What if the bride gets this all over dress?
Got to be careful.
Yeah. Are they going to feed? Do we have a wedding cake?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pizza.
No. A legit wedding cake.
A pizza cake.
They can feed each other.
I'm going to have a pizza cake at my wedding.
I have never seen Kevin so happy than when he talks about food.
You know, they have groom's cakes now, Kev.
Is it a pizza groom's
cake? You can
cake?
Have the groom can make his cake whatever he wants.
Guys, I'm going 1973 tux.
Are you doing with the ruffle?
I'm going 1973 tux. I could either choose from, and Dave, this will probably remind you of your prom. I'm going to go either orange, baby blue, or mint green.
Oh.
And there's a yellow available, but I think that's too much.
I like the mint green.
Mint green?
Yeah, do that. Mm-hmm.
That like was my
orange,
first choice.
Baby blue. I like the orange two reasons for the Illini, but also it's why don't you do pink for Valentine's Day?
I don't think they have pink. That's a great question.
Are you going to have that big ruffled shirt, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's killer.
Oh, my. Doing the whole deal? Cummerbund?
Oh, nice. Bummed I'm not going to be there.
Andrea?
Yes.
You're going to be a bridesmaid?
Yes.
What are you wearing?
Bridesmaid dress, for
I
sure.
Can be a bridesmaid, right?
Because I didn't talk. Hey, it's not my decision. It's the lucky couple.
No. I think they're going to want me and Anna to be bridesmaids. I think, anyway.
Uh-huh.
All right, good. So now I can get a dress.
Orion and I are... Oh, Orion won't be there, I
don't
Aren't
you going to be...
No, I won't be there.
You're an usher, Dave.
I'm not sure what.
Who's
not a groomsman?
Yeah.
Flower girl.
How come they get to be bridesmaids and I'm not a groomsman?
All right, you can be a groomsman.
Can I alter that now, as long as we're discussing this? I was never a flower girl in my life. Never. I was a junior bridesmaid.
You can't be a flower girl.
Come on. No.
I think Kevin should be the ring bearer, though.
Kevin should be the ring bearer.
That would be funny.
Aw, wouldn't it be cute with a little pillow? Kevin carrying the little
pillow.
I'm down.
Am I the only one wearing a tux next week?
Yes.
What's Steve wearing?
He's wearing a sport coat.
I got to be honest. I'm a
we already
nervous.
Talked clothes, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. We had this discussion.
Cochran and I haven't sat down and talked about how we're going to do the nuptials, and it makes me a little nervous.
Right, because are you going to go, utilize
and do a back and
line.
Forth thing?
Okay. I think you're doing it. At least that's what he indicated
I'm ready.
To me.
I'm ready to
he
go.
He will tell the groom he can kiss the bride.
Oh, I wanted to do that.
Oh, that's the best part.
But it is Steve's show, live on his show. By the way... next Thursday night, my show from 8 until 11 is live at Pequod's Pizza. That's where we'll be having the bachelor party for the groom.
Oh.
I love Pequod's Pizza.
Pequod's Pizza.
Good thin crust.
I love Pequod's Pizza.
Of course you do. Yeah.
You got the burnt little crust on the edges.
Yeah, so good.
That's where the bachelor party is next week.
Are you, well, we probably shouldn't give too much away about the bachelor party.
Well, there is entertainment.
Entertainment.
But entertainment for the WGN radio audience.
Got it. Okay.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's a musical guest next week.
Cool.
Yes. In 150 words or less, tell us why you deserve to have a wedding a week from today. Go to WGNradio.com and submit. You could win a wedding experience with me, Pete McMurray, live on the Steve Cochran Show a week from today. It's all brought to you by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hand. We're all thinking about spring break this time of year, aren't we? By the way, I tried to cross Michigan Avenue last night, and there's little grooves in the street. Have you guys noticed that? Has anyone walked across the street to a Walgreens? And the grooves in the street, everyone tries to get in the grooves, and it's only one-way traffic.
Oh, yeah.
It's one-way traffic.
What grooves are you talking about?
Like, on Michigan Avenue, in the crosswalk.
In the median strip.
Yes, in the median strip. So one person's got to walk in the snow.
Oh,
and
because
another...
because of the snow, because it's not really
shoveled
in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's tough stuff. Coming up, a Hawktionary, Dave. Are you ready for that?
Yes, I am, sir.
Who are the Hawks playing tonight?
The Blackhawks are playing the Winnipeg Jets.
Boy, they're having a rough run, aren't they?
Who? The Blackhawks?
Yes.
People panic so much when they lose a couple of games.
We do. Absolutely.
It's crazy. Winnipeg's lost 5 in a row.
What was it the other night? Corey Crawford faced 40 shots?
Over 40, yeah.
43 shots and 40 saves. Mm. I mean, he had a great game the other night, but they still lost 3-0. You got to score, don't you?
Yeah, you do have to score generally to win.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran.
And now, another edition of Hawktionary with Dave Ennis.
Line to the slot, Deeks, and Chief Crawford knocked it wide with the blocker.
Today's entry.
With some waffle fries for free.
Waffle pad.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty.
Wait a second. Waffle pad? Is
waffle
that what
pad.
I heard?
You heard right.
All right, Mr. Ennis.
Today's Hawktionary term is waffle pad. We've previously done blocker. You heard that reference there. That's a piece of the goaltender's equipment. The waffle pad is essentially the same thing, but a throwback. The blocker, as we've discussed, is the glove worn on the same arm the goaltender uses to hold the stick. It's got a big rectangular pad on the back of the glove and is used to deflect shots. You know, you've seen the blocker, right?
Of course.
The older style pad on the blocker kind of looked like a waffle. Leather pad with rows of small holes. The holes were designed to make the pad lighter. So
I'm trying to picture Tony Esposito. Did he have the waffle pad?
He would have had the waffle pad.
Okay.
In that era, that was standard equipment.
Good old number 35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it became known as the waffle pad, and the term waffle boarding used when a goalie makes a quick save with a blocker. That term is still used, even though they're really not wearing the waffle pad anymore.
That is interesting. Very interesting. How much do all those pads weigh? What would you say? Corey Crawford puts those pads on night after night. Are they heavy?
Well, they're lighter than, say, football pads.
Oh, yeah?
He's
got a lot of pads on, man.
They're very well protected.
But aren't the pads cut off at the chest? Like, what if you took a puck to the belly?
Well, you've got washboard abs.
Well, right,
yeah.
Of
so
course.
It doesn't really
right,
hurt.
True. Mm-hmm. True. Well, like you too, Dave.
So waffle pad, that's our Hawktionary term for today.
Thank you, Dave. Edit WGN Sports. Appreciate it. What is a millennial? Is that Kevin's age? Is that
Kevin and Ross?
Yeah, in the 20s.
You look 20s. In the dictionary, in the 20s. You see a picture of Kevin and Ross next to a millennial.
They have a whole other, I guess, lingo, right, Dave? They don't return voicemail. They don't leave voicemails.
Right.
They do everything through text.
They do everything through text. There's a new survey out. Almost every millennial has sent a nude picture of themselves.
What?
And take a look at your junk.
What?
Almost every millennial has sent a nude picture of themselves.
Come on. Totally.
That's risky business.
83% of millennials has sent some type of email, text, or some other form of a naked picture of themselves.
It's a sext.
Who did the survey?
Hold on. Let me scroll. Uh-oh, Ross is walking in the studio. Ross, have you sent a naked picture of yourself?
No, and I wouldn't say, I would be honest, even if this wasn't my father's show.
Well, that's, you're in the 17%.
Yes, I'm very, very, very much in the 17%.
I know a lot of people my age that send naked pictures.
Does it say if it's more men or women? Or, sorry, boys or girls?
Or maybe it's just like 10 people who just do it all the time.
I mean, think about it. People in their 20s, that's how they communicate. Everybody's sending naked pictures. That's what happens. They're sending pics. Kevin, naked picture, yes or no?
What about naked? Have I sent one? No.
I don't believe it.
You look it enough.
Have you received a naked picture?
Well, I got one from you. Are you a millennial? Remember when you sent me that one last night, Pete?
No, no, that
was around 10:30 last night.
That wasn't me.
You were show prepping.
The phone was buzzing. I go, what's Pete sending me again?
Ross, naked picture?
No. I never received one? No.
What? Really?
Pete, I got married at 22. All right? My game isn't necessarily, I haven't exactly had the opportunity.
He's not a player. Yeah.
Andrea?
No. Oh, God. I'm... No.
I don't want to ask Orion. I don't want to... Dave?
I keep checking my phone. No luck.
Come on. Am I?
No luck.
Really? I'm the only one on this
show? I
probably
should have
said
that.
You've got
sent
a nude picture?
I have never sent a nude picture, but I've received nude pictures.
What are you talking about, Kim Kardashian or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, wait.
No.
Is this, can we be personal? Is this your wife or is
no,
this just a random...
Random person.
Okay. Listeners?
Okay. Yeah, no.
Anybody but, you know?
Well, of course. Oh. Right.
Oh. Someone you know.
Oh,
and remember, you send a naked picture, you're going to show that, or someone's going to show that to somebody else. Of course.
Of course,
of course
yeah.
They are.
And it's there forever.
So forever.
Are you going to show us the picture that you got?
I don't have any naked pictures on my phone because I have a 9-year-old that plays with it.
I thought you just said you received one.
Yeah, but I don't keep it on my phone.
He has Snapchat.
And I haven't received. I've been married 14 years, so
I
haven't received one.
He has a stalker. No, he has Snapchat.
Show us.
So the picture just dissipated into thin air.
Don't you guys get pictures from listeners from time to time? I'm not talking naked pictures, but just pictures in general.
I get a lot of nice emails, but I don't get a lot of pictures.
Oh, my gosh. You got a naked picture from Scott.
Maybe it's the night show.
It was Miller, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's a bad visual right there.
Scott Miller.
Naked.
Didn't think he would do that.
Oh, I hope not. Not at all.
He's crazy funny, but
uh-huh.
I didn't think he'd go that far.
83% of millennials.
That seems high, Pete.
83%.
I can't believe that.
83% sending naked pictures. Yeah. I don't know why you guys can't believe that. Why is that so hard to believe?
I don't know. I just think millennials, I think, would be past that. I could see teenagers doing that, but millennials, I would think, are in their 20s.
Yeah, they're supposed to be smarter.
Yeah, they're kind of past that.
By the way, Orion, it's the website Fusion that did the survey. Fusion.
Okay.
I'd love to take a picture right now of Orion's face and text that to all you guys because to everybody out there.
And you would put my nude face on
no,
the phone?
No, your face is just... I think we found what's bugging O.
Do you feel like when you hear stories like this, what is happening to the world?
Yeah, you do.
Right. Yeah. Because you're giving me that look.
Why
like
do
I just,
you do that?
Right. Why do people do it?
Why do you do it?
Because if you send a naked picture, it's going to be out there forever, and people are going to show it to other people.
And 83% of these people can't be that good looking.
You're right. Naked. The most naked people listening right now are ugly naked.
Yeah.
You look bad naked. Do not send pictures.
Well, think of how many people, sometimes people come by the Showcase Studio and flash.
You're right.
Or show different body parts. And
yes.
They're probably not the people who should be doing that.
No, no. I get that a lot at night when people are leaving Howls and Hood after a Blackhawks game.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot, believe it or not. All right, 7:46. Let's take a look at traffic. Mary, what's happening?
We were a flight at 3, and I was on the second aircraft, and Mr. Williams was on board my aircraft. We took small arms fire. All I know is one RPG was fired. It struck the lead aircraft, which was about what we call 6 rotor disc in front of me.
That was the pilot for Brian Williams' helicopter. He was on CNN yesterday. So they had a little bit of fire. So why did Brian Williams lie? He didn't need to lie.
You know, Dave had brought up a good point yesterday morning. When you're caught in that, I mean, I don't think any of us have ever been in that situation, but...
Well, wait a second.
Maybe you did have a good point, Dave. You said maybe he didn't realize at the time... You know, you're under this
fire or, you know.
I'm not sure if I'm in that situation, I'm distinguishing which helicopter is getting hit.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's the only thing. If you're in the middle of it, you think you're going to die, even though your copter isn't the one that's hit.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it possible that, that's the only plausible thing I can think of. Yeah.
In his defense, he's never been, he's never been in the service, and he's a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're flying in a helicopter and you're getting shot at, I don't know, maybe he made a mistake, but yeah. For 7 years he's been talking about this.
Right, that's the thing.
And it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Right. And we said yesterday, too, you know, it's very noble that he was there and doing that and putting himself in that situation to cover the story, just saying, hey, I wasn't even sure if we were hit or not.
Right. Tom Brokaw came out yesterday and said that he should be fired. Nice. So NBC's got a little bit of a firestorm on their hands because this is their main anchor with the nightly news. Does he lose credibility?
I think a little bit. I don't think he should be fired, though.
I think it's hurt his reputation.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, his reputation and his integrity would have enabled him to branch out and do like the slow jamming the news
right.
with Fallon and
very
go on
likeable
30
guy.
Rock and
yes.
go on all these other shows on NBC because he had such credibility.
Right. Absolutely. Kevin, we have some more audio from the CNN interview.
Would he have been able to have heard the small arms fire?
He would have been aware of it because of the activity of the crew. The door gunners were returning fire, so that's M60s are very loud. The pinging of the bullets hitting us, there were only a few, but, you know, it's a distinct sound. So whether he heard it or not, I'm not sure. But he was aware something was going on because our door gunners were returning fire.
So they're firing back, and he's getting hit. So he was fired on.
He was fired on, yeah.
Okay. I mean, this thing has exploded everywhere.
Yeah. If anything, we should give Brian Williams credit for trying to, make good on all of this.
Right.
Or try to explain what happened.
Mm-hmm. Dean Richards coming up after the in the 8 o'clock hour, right after the top of the hour news. Let's take a quick break. It's 7:53. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Today, Monday, Steve is back on Tuesday. We'll take caller number 7 right now at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. A Chevy Drive Chicago.com and WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas Coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. All right, it's 4 minutes until 8 o'clock. I got to tell you, this weather just kind of drives you crazy after a while, and we have snow coming this weekend.
Yeah, just a little bit on Sunday.
I figured something out this week. When was the first snow? Was that on? It was over the weekend.
The big one.
The big
right?
one started
Sunday.
Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night,
8 o'clock.
When I shoveled 3 times on Sunday, I want to say.
Did you?
Or was it 3 times on Saturday?
Yeah. I said Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you shovel your walkway or did you shovel your car out?
I have a garage,
okay,
but I live in the city, mm-hmm. so you have to shovel the alley
yeah.
so you can pull out, or you're going to get stuck.
I used to have to do that.
But I have a 9-year-old, and he's like, hey, Dad, can I come out and play in the snow? I'm like, great. So he picks up the shovel, and he starts shoveling, and it hit me. My son's old enough to shovel now.
Oh, yeah.
How great is that? Dave, you have sons. When did you figure that out?
Well, I never really... I don't know. My son wasn't much into shoveling. He just wanted to go out and play, so...
You never put him to work?
I put him to work, but shoveling, we didn't have that much to shovel.
You don't have a walk? Stairs leading up to the house?
No.
Dave, you got a pretty big driveway.
Yeah,
yeah, you do, Dave.
That gets plowed.
He has the servants doing it.
Oh, you got a guy.
Because he's Mr. Kent.
Well, no, it's the whole,
he's got a butler.
It's part of the street, so it gets plowed that way.
Really?
Dave has people.
But I was out there shoveling the other day.
I mean, you seem like a guy that would enjoy shoveling. I enjoy it because I think it's a great exercise.
And I shoveled for my dog. My dog had nowhere to go. So I had to shovel out a semicircle in the backyard for him.
You guys should be careful shoveling, though.
This is interesting to me. Dave Ennett doesn't really shovel.
No, I have shoveled.
You don't have to shovel, do you?
I don't have that. I don't have a sidewalk in front of my house. So there's nothing there to shovel.
He's got a big, long driveway where the limo parks.
Please stop it.
He does. It's awesome.
What about your front door? You don't have a sidewalk leading up to your front door?
Well, it's covered.
What do you mean it's covered?
I mean, there's a porch.
Yes, but the sidewalk leading up.
No, it goes right from the driveway to the front stoop.
So that whole thing is covered?
Not the driveway, but...
God, I'm finding new things. I got to go to Annette's house and get
the
visual.
Over and you'll understand when you see it.
You'll see, when you see James the butler shoveling the snow, you'll get it. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Well, you don't have to shovel.
No, I just told you I shovel.
I do.
For my dog.
That's good to know. Well, it hit me this week that I now have a young son that can shovel. And I started thinking, what else can he do to take some things off my plate? Because I have a honey-do list every single weekend. Can he hang a chandelier? I mean, how do I get him on that? Do I send him to Mr. Fix-It Boot Camp? Can I do that?
Does he mow the lawn?
Not yet, but this year. Yeah. I think so.
Dangerous.
That was a big step when my dad let me take the mower out. He had me mow the lawn. So
I know it's dangerous, Dave, but don't you want to teach your kid how to handle the mower?
Sure. But okay. Get him a push mower first.
A push mower?
Yeah, the old push mowers. Not gas-powered.
Really?
It can really work. Right, Big O?
Absolutely. That's how we did it.
Jeez, why don't you just bring out the goats while you're at it?
Oh, my God.
You have a tractor? Like a sit-down mower?
No, I have a mower, a lawnmower, a normal push mower.
Oh, okay.
And again, I live in the city, so my front yard is the size of everyone's master bathroom.
Right.
Like it's very small.
A patch of grass.
But it needs to be cut. And I do have a push mower. And I will teach my kid this year.
Good for you.
Dave Ennett, wow. I'm kind of shocked, I got to be honest.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean Richards from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
And also WGN Radio.
And WGN Radio. Yes, sir.
Chicago's very own. It's the tattoo, someplace you don't need to know where the tattoo is.
When I fill in for Cochran, one of my favorite segments is talking to you because we don't get a chance to talk that much.
Not enough. We don't get to chat enough. But frequently when I go see movies at night, mm-hmm. I hear you guys on your show in the evening. And always enjoy it. Sounds like you're always having fun.
I appreciate that. And speaking of movies...
Are you really having fun, or are you just making it up?
Man, we had a great show last night. It was a lot of fun. A lot of belly laughs, a lot of great information. It's fun. Absolutely, it's fun. Well, it's Friday. Movies are opening. What do we have this weekend?
Yeah, have you heard about this movie that they made in Chicago a couple of years ago, Jupiter Ascending?
I have, yes.
Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum... is in it. Eddie Redmayne, who's up for an Academy Award, has a very small supporting role in this film. It's made by the filmmakers, the writers' filmmakers, who made the Matrix series and Cloud Atlas, Andy and Lana Wachowski. And they have turned out certainly an ambitious movie. I guess that can be probably the most positive thing that I can say.
You didn't
about
like
this,
it.
Because I did not like this
the
movie.
The most ambitious. It was an ambitious movie.
It's ambitious.
That means it's a rental.
You know what, Pete? I try to be glass half full.
Wow.
And especially, films. I like to support movies that are made in Chicago.
Yes.
I love when you go to see a movie, right? And a lot of the movie that they made. Just like a block away from where you are in the Showcase studio right now. A lot of it's right on Wacker Drive, over the river, the skyline of downtown Chicago. In fact, the Wachowskis were at the screening at which I saw this film, and they talked about how this movie is a love letter to Chicago because they wanted to show the city in a way that they feel that it hasn't been shown before. And if by that they mean blowing up and having epic sci-fi battles along the skyline and, destroying buildings, mission accomplished. They did it, although they pretty much destroyed the city pretty well in Transformers also. So it's not exactly the most original, way that the city has ever been seen. But they shot it, sort of just before dawn. It is kind of a cool look of the city. And I will say that visually... this film is, what was the word? Ambitious.
Yes, ambitious.
I will say, I'll say that.
I love Mila Kunis, but what's the premise of the movie?
She plays a cleaning woman, because all cleaning women look just exactly like Mila Kunis. And apparently, she shares the same DNA composition as this trio of space siblings, sort of the lords of the universe.
How are you not laughing as you're telling us about this
Eddie,
movie?
Eddie Redmayne is one of these space siblings. They're two brothers and a sister.
Yep.
And apparently those three sort of own the galaxy. They own the galaxy. Each one kind of owns a planet. And their mother passed away, and the Mila Kunis' character, through this incredibly complicated storyline of how this could possibly ever happen, shares the same DNA composition as their mother, which threatens their rule of the solar system. So they want to kill her and get her out of the way. Along comes this space alien, played by Channing Tatum.
You can just stop.
He's just sort of a protector. He swoops into the southwest side, into this very unassuming frame house on the side. Pretty sure it was on the southwest side.
Okay.
Swoops in and saves her. And the movie is pretty much a battle of they want to kill her. She wants to save her. Most of the movie, he's without his shirt. Apparently, it's quite hot when you're doing that kind of life-saving. You got to take your shirt off. It's very, very demanding. So that's basically what the movie. This movie is a classic case of excess. Way too much story. Way too complicated. Way too many layers. So much of it doesn't make sense visually. I will say that visually, it is. It's something to see. I mean, but at some point that becomes exhausting, you know, and you just feel like they threw in everything plus the kitchen sink to make up for the deficiencies of better storytelling. So I wanted to love this. I love Made in Chicago movies. I love supporting all of, you know, Chicago actors got a lot of work, Chicago crew,
right?
People who work in the film industry in Chicago got a ton of work out of this. I wish this movie had a better final product, so I wound up giving it a D, I'm afraid.
So Jupiter Ascending, if it was driving along in a car, that would be a very bad
wreck. It's an ambitious car crash, if ever I've heard one.
Dean, hold on. We're going to check traffic, and we'll get back to you in just a second. It's 8:17. Mary, what's happening with the roads? Dean Richards is brought to you by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center.
Love the reggae music.
Bob Marley's birthday today, Dean.
Anna Belleval, around town on the WGN-TV morning news, was at the Wild Hare all day yesterday morning.
Uh-oh, secondary smoke, is
playing,
she okay?
And when she came back, she reeked of patchouli and Oreo cookies. I'm not really sure why that was, but the patchouli definitely.
I want to ask you about another movie, Seventh Son, that's opening this weekend. What is that about? What is the you hate
gonna
that
be another
too.
Good one.
Well, we're 0-2 this weekend.
And we ain't even begun yet.
Oh, man.
The Seventh Son amazingly stars Oscar winner Jeff Bridges and soon-to-be Oscar winner Julianne Moore. Julianne plays a very powerful witch, and this is sort of in medieval times.
You lost me. I have no interest.
You're a witch hater?
He doesn't like Julianne Moore either.
I like Bewitched.
Oh, Andrea is the one that hates Julianne Moore on this show.
No, I don't hate her. She's just not my favorite. Now she's going to win the Oscar and we're going to have to hear about her.
You hate her legs.
I don't like her legs.
She hates her legs.
What?
It's a long story.
Okay.
Andrea will forward you a picture.
I'll tell you later.
She has to nearly everyone in Chicago so far.
Thanks, Steve.
So Julianne is a very powerful witch, and she's captured and put into a prison.
Oh, Dean.
She's put into this witch prison by an elite witch hunter played by Jeff Bridges.
Uh-huh.
Now, you've got these two here. Now, she's in a prison, but breaks out of the prison, Pete.
Okay,
she breaks out of the prison.
Right.
Who better to capture her than the guy who put her in prison in the first place, this elite witch hunter Jeff Bridges? Only this time now she's mad. Now she's really mad. She summons all of her other evil friends, and they plan on destroying all humans in the world. So this witch hunter guy, he's got his work cut out for him. He brings on a young apprentice to help him in this task. This elite witch hunters group are all seventh sons of seventh sons. It's a very elite group.
Stop it.
It's kind of like the cast of the TV show My Three Sons, only take it to seven. And so it's a battle. It's a battle. It's a good versus evil battle. But this is another movie that is they realize that there's not a lot of meat to the story at
yes.
all. As you could tell. So they just throw in everything but the kitchen sink in the action sequences. They do this one in 3D, which is definitely not worth the money if you're thinking about going to see this in 3D. It's another case of more being way less, and I don't mean Julianne Moore.
Why would Jeff Bridges take a project like this if it wasn't just for the money?
I think that's exactly the reason. That I had an actor once tell me, sometimes you make the movies for the art, and sometimes you make them for the mortgage payments. And I think it's simply, it's just that simple sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes I don't think that they, can visualize how bad a movie can sometimes turn out. I mean, maybe they thought, they were going to be starting off some sort of franchisee kind of thing here of, the witch hunting, the witch hunter.
Sure. Witches are big. Used to be vampires.
Very
now it's witches.
Popular. Zombies can't rule everything,
Right.
Make room for some of the witches here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they thought that that's what was going to happen. But this movie, also a very big disappointment, gave this one a Dean's List D also.
Another D.
So is it going to be a 3D weekend? The answer is yes. The third movie of the weekend is this new SpongeBob movie.
Aww.
And can I tell you how disappointed I was
really
in this? Because I actually was a SpongeBob SquarePants fan, because the TV show and even the previous feature that came out, there was always a silly level for the kids.
Right.
And there was always this very double entendre
yep.
level for the grown-ups. It was really, really pretty clever. And this time they just seem to have made it so lowest common denominator. The storyline, if you really care.
Do we need the storyline for SpongeBob SquarePants
Pete,
movie?
Somebody steals the Krabby Patty recipe.
Oh, no.
And, that's a big deal in SpongeBob SquarePants.
Is Patrick in the movie, his best friend?
Patrick is one of the characters.
I hope he gets nominated.
In the movie. Yes. Hope he gets the supporting nod this year. So they go. They're trying to find who stole this recipe. Turns out it's a pirate, an evil pirate.
You sure it's not a witch, Julianne Moore?
Even worse.
Morphing the movies together?
Pirate played by Antonio Banderas.
Oh, no.
The whole movie is animated except for him. He's, real life. And it's, the typical kind of pirate that you'd expect, overly dramatic. Honestly, I spent half the movie, whenever he was on screen, just feeling embarrassed for this guy.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, wow, how big is your mortgage payment that you need to be in something like this?
So this is a D, too?
This one also is a D. It's just not as clever as SpongeBob movies and the TV shows have been in the past. I did have a fellow critic that I know. We saw this in New York last weekend. A fellow critic that I know, after the movie, goes, Dean, I've never done drugs, but now I feel like I know what it must have been like to have gone through that. So, again, it's unfortunately, it's a pretty disappointing weekend. See an Oscar-nominated movie. If you want to go see a movie this weekend, go see an Oscar-nominated movie.
Dean, I'm very excited about the Grammy Awards on Sunday. I was listening to Bob and Marianne this week, and they had the producer, Ken Ehrlich, on, who's from Chicago, and he produces all the Grammy Awards, and he gave a hint. Bob asked him if there was going to be any surprises, and he said, if you're a fan of Highway to Hell, you're going to want to tune in at the beginning of the broadcast. Have you heard anything?
The only the performance that I've heard that sounds interesting is the one that's going to be Paul McCartney performing with Kanye West
yes.
and Rihanna. That's the only one that I've heard. And they've been hinting about lots of other performances. It's always, performance-wise, it's always a great show. It's one of the few award shows that I actually look forward to, because it's so fun to
I love
see
it.
So much great music.
I love it. Dean Richards. Thank you, Dean.
All right. Have a good weekend, Pete.
All right. Let's take a break. It is 828. It's 720 WGN.
Leadership is not about raising money. It's about doing the right thing for the people of this city.
We have a Rahm Emanuel problem because he hasn't seen a donation that he's not willing to accept.
I was honored to, as a congressman, to work with President Obama. That was a senator then. And we put and passed landmark lobbying and ethics reform legislation.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show.
Love your show. Love you guys.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rap30 from the Chicago Tribune. It's Rick Pearson. I thought I was seeing things when I looked up at the television in the studio this morning, Rick. And I think I saw you with a suit on the set on WGN. Is that true?
I don't want to scare you, Pete, with me wearing a suit. I know you're not used to seeing me that way, but no. Yes, it was.
I see Rick late at night. He leaves my show, walks over to the Billy Goat.
Yeah, right.
The debate last night, did we learn anything new?
Well, you know, I think you're starting to see the challengers to Emanuel kind of try to ramp it up a bit because, you know, we're getting awfully close now to February 24th on Monday. That's the first day of early voting. And so you've got the challengers really kind of all trying to pile on to Rahm Emanuel in an effort to keep him from getting that 50% plus one that he needs to avoid a runoff. And then you have the sub race, which is everybody but Emanuel trying to be the one that could be the number two in a runoff.
The questions were leaked to the Garcia camp ahead of time, and then they shared the questions with everyone. Did that make a difference?
Not really. I mean, you know, the one thing, though, is, you know, how did those questions get leaked? There was certainly, when you looked at the questions themselves, there wasn't anything that was unusual or any kind of gotcha question that was aimed toward a certain candidate. It's something, if you're going to be in a debate for mayor of Chicago, there are questions that you should expect to be able to answer. But still, I think it did cast a pall on the integrity of the debate by the fact that they were leaked out to one camp.
Good morning, Rick. How are you? It's Andrea.
Yes, Andrea.
Rick, today the Chicago Tribune endorsing Mayor Emanuel. Why? It was kind of interesting to me.
Well, I mean, I don't sit on the editorial board. I'm not part of the decision-making process for their making their editorial endorsement. But obviously, you know, it was a pretty healthy debate that was held in the Tribune editorial board with all of the contenders just a week ago. And obviously, their view is that Emanuel is the one who is gradually trying to right the city's financial ship here. You do have both Chuy Garcia and Bob Fioretti, you know, actively talking about ways that they would explore to try to find new revenue to help the city. But based on the Tribune editorial board, they don't view those as necessarily valid or anything that is going to improve the city's economic outlook.
Yeah, they say, of course, the benefit of incumbency, $13 million to back it up. I just found it interesting that they said that he consistently polls higher because of all of the undecided voters. So they're kind of, to me, it just seems like they're saying it's his race to lose.
Well, I mean, our last Tribune poll had Emanuel at 42% and Garcia at 18%, Fioretti at 10%, Willie Wilson at 7%, but 20% were undecided. That's one in five voters. Now, the real question becomes, you know, do those 20%, they normally, undecided voters normally split more in favor of a challenger than an incumbent. That's called the incumbent rule. It's been a little different on the national level lately, but that's normally how it goes. The other thing is, how many of that 20% that's undecided may just sit on their hands and not go vote? And you know, turnout is, you know, we always talk about turnout as a key to an election, but certainly I think the Emanuel forces would like to have a low turnout election, that they view that's in their favor.
Do you think he's going to get the 50% plus one in the election?
You know, Pete, it's a good question, and I just don't know. And as much as his numbers have improved somewhat from our Tribune poll last August, I mean, we have our story today in the Tribune about voters assessing their feelings on how Emanuel has handled the crime problem in the city. 48% disapprove, 34% approve. You know, he's upside down on that number. The one good thing for Emanuel is that in August, It was 57% who disapproved. Now that's down to 48%. So there is some improvement on the crime issue. But, you know, he's not a popular mayor. His job approval rating numbers have improved. But here again, I'm not trying to defend the mayor, but he was elected to make hard decisions, and hard decisions aren't always politically popular ones.
And that's how he positions himself. And even in the Obama radio commercial, Obama mentions that, too. The president does.
Yes, exactly. It's known nationwide. It's almost kind of a joke about the way Emanuel approaches very aggressively, some would say arrogantly, in dealing with adversaries and dealing with issues. But there's still a lot of campaign left. There's still the last televised debate will be held on Tuesday night, and that will be the one that will be very interesting, because it will be the last free TV media that these challengers get.
I know early on, Rick, you had to sit through these debates. Are they getting any better, or is it like watching paint dry?
Well, I mean, they're in some respects, the TV debates, they're forced to be quicker with their answers. They can't necessarily filibuster an answer. I mean, if you noted in last night's debate, for example, as much as people were piling on Emanuel about his fundraising ability and the recent Tribune series that we had that showed that the top 100 donors of the more than $30 million he's raised as a city politician, many have gotten certain city hall benefits out of that. Emanuel tried to deflect that by one saying, well, he had championed ethics ordinances way back to his days in Congress, that he did it in the city, but then he moved quickly to try to shift into the fact that he hadn't raised property taxes, sales taxes, or gas taxes. Moved quickly to try to shift things into a financial issue about issues of taxation, knowing that that's what people are really kind of focusing on.
This is his race to lose, like Andrea brought up. Absolutely, it is.
Well, and I will tell you, if it does go to a runoff, it does change the dynamic significantly.
Sure.
It doesn't become Emanuel against the field. It's Emanuel against one person. And the scrutiny on both candidates becomes that much more intensive, as well as, I think, the demands for responsive answers.
Rick Pearson. Rick, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Pete.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Tuesday. Let's check in with Ro Khan, who's on this radio station every day from 3 to 7. Ro, what's happening?
You know what? I am sitting here listening to Rick Pearson, and I'm thinking to myself, we live in the goofiest town ever.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Ever. Did you watch that debate last night?
I saw just a clips of it when I got home last night. I was at an event, and I have never understood why Rahm Emanuel's a pretty qualified guy, right? And he's a smart guy, and he's got people around him. He was like one of the first contenders, but why real contenders don't pop up out of this? I mean, I guess Chuy García to some degree is, but everybody else seems to just sort of be sitting there.
I think we're all thinking that's
a really good question. We were, immediately asking why not, Scott Wagsback or other people within. Karen Lewis would have been a great contender if she got sick.
Made it interesting.
Yeah, she would have definitely made it interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to be interviewing her on, or part of the interview team for her today on Wendy C. Live. And it'll be interesting to see what, I think had she been able to, and this is not in anybody's control, but I think had she been, able to deal with this maybe 6 months earlier, she'd probably be back in it, because she seems feisty again.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. And what do you have coming up today?
The return of the Carnarvon Wagon, of course, the most important feature in the history of radio.
By the way, that's the liquor cart that they bring in at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right.
Richard Roper will join us. Roper Reviews. I don't know if you saw this. In the Sun Times yesterday, he gave that Jupiter Ascending 0 stars.
Yeah, I hear it's a bad movie.
0 stars.
Dean didn't like that either.
Yeah, Dean was trying to explain it to us, and the entire show fell asleep during Dean's segment.
It's crazy. I mean, to get 0 stars, it's almost an act of violence, right? I mean, you have to really, something bad has to happen in there. So.
And it's a Chicago movie. You want to like it, and you want to support it.
Right. And you and did you read that other story yesterday? What they did is these are the siblings from Chicago who did Matrix and all that. Great.
Right.
You know, these are great filmmakers. But the problem is they decided they want to do this chase scene in the morning sunrise light, in which there's only 6 minutes a day of this if it's sunny, right? If it's a clear sky. And so as opposed to shooting an action scene overnight or whatever, which they always do because they mm-hmm. can cover it's nighttime and do all kinds of special effects. No, they had to do it in this six. So it like the thing went on forever trying to get it produced. It's visually interesting, right? Didn't everybody agrees on that? I hope.
Sure. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't even know if I'll rent it. I got to be honest. But who knows?
Oh, that's it. That is it. That's it. Well, all right. Okay. Let's say like in 2 years, you're channel surfing and it's on USA Network. Are you going to watch it?
You know why? Because I love Mila Kunis. I absolutely love her. Beautiful.
Yes, who doesn't?
Yes, yes. Yeah. RoCon today, 3 to 7. Ro, we'll see you this afternoon. Thanks, buddy. All right, let me take a break, and we'll talk to Bill and Wendy coming up next. All right, Bill and Wendy in studio. I have to say that, wow, love Todd Bridges yesterday on the show.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great stuff.
He was a nice man.
The bitter defensive Todd Bridges.
Wow. If people haven't heard that, you should go to WGNradio.com and give it a listen.
He seemed like...
He was bitter?
You had to listen closely for it, but uh-huh. he was a little bitter, yes.
My God, you're Todd Bridges. You haven't done anything. I'm sending Wendy text messages during your interview. Get Todd Bridges off the phone. He's got to go back to his gas station job. Oh. Leave him alone.
Oh.
I believe the first one was, Willis is a jerk, let's just say.
Oh, no.
You guys were nice even to have him on.
Well,
I was excited to talk to him, weren't you?
I was very excited to talk to him, mm-hmm. and that changed quickly.
Because you're a big TV guy, if people don't know.
I love old television shows, and anytime Wendy and I have the chance to talk to somebody from one of those old shows, we can't wait.
Right.
And a lot of times it ends pleasantly.
Except yesterday.
Yesterday did not. Can I? I want to back up something that Dave Ennett said earlier.
That he doesn't shovel?
Well, no.
No. We don't need to bring that up, Wendy.
I was shocked, man.
Butler does it.
What Dave said is true. You do need to score goals to win hockey games. That's true.
Right, that was genius.
You can't win without
that.
He's
a smart man.
And the waffle pads, Dave, you'll remember this, in the days of the original six, the goalie often had hot waffles in the goal that you could skate mm-hmm. by, grab a waffle and some syrup, and skate away. That was standard play back then.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where the term, you know, put it right in the waffle iron.
That's why
where
people
that came
said that.
From.
That sounds dirty, Dave. I got to be honest. Well, I think I may have to isolate that and play that on my show over and over and over. Dave Ennett going to work out right after the show today.
I know.
Just an FYI.
I know.
What do you guys have coming up on the show?
I don't know. Why don't you just do our show since you're doing every show here?
It's a quick turnaround.
I know.
Get home, go to bed at midnight.
Hawks are playing tonight or you'd be on again tonight. What's wrong with you?
I love it. It's not bad. I love it. Steve called and his uncle passed away. Had to go to New York. I'm like, no problem.
That's so nice of you to do the night show and then come in and do the morning
show. Would you do an extra shift?
I barely get through the one we have.
I know. I hear you,
Bill. You have the easiest shift on the station. Middays. You're done at noon.
Oh, okay. The bosses could be listening.
Sorry about
that. The king and queen of lazy.
It's us.
Yes, that's nice. What do you have coming up today?
Well, Pablo Francisco, who's one of the funniest comics ever, is on with us at 9:35. And then this guy, Barry Manilow, wants to come on with us.
I love Barry.
At 11:15.
I'm so glad he's not been on any other show.
No, it's an exclusive.
Has anybody seen Barry Manilow in this room besides me?
No.
Live?
In this room?
In action?
I've seen him twice.
Have you really?
Yes. He's great. You know every song. You make fun of me, but I'm telling you, it's a great, great concert.
We know who'd ask for tickets now.
Feed some ticket connection. Now, does he know? He's got to know that people sometimes will rib him a little. He knows
Listen,
that.
You had a bad experience with Todd Bridges yesterday. I just want you to handle the Barry Manilow.
All right, we'll see how it goes.
Okay?
All right.
All right, Bill and Wendy are up next.